Death watched Mort's expression carefully. "Only the gods are allowed to do that," he added. "To tinker with the fate of even one individual could destroy the whole world. Do you understand?" Mort nodded miserably.
"Are you going to send me home?" he said.
Death reached down and swung him up behind the saddle. "Because you showed compassion? No. I might have done if you had shown pleasure. But you must learn the compassion proper to your trade."
"What's that?"
"A sharp edge." Days passed, although Mort wasn't certain how many. The gloomy sun of Death's world rolled regularly across the sky, but the visits to mortal space seemed to adhere to no particular system. Nor did Death visit only kings and important battles. Most of the personal visits were to quite ordinary people. Meals were served up by Albert, who smiled to himself a lot and didn't say anything much. Isabel kept to her room most of the time, or rode her own pony on the black moors above the cottage. The sight of her, with her hair streaming in the wind, would have been more impressive if she was a better horsewoman, or if the pony had been rather larger, or if her hair was the sort that streams naturally. Some hair has got it, and some hasn't. Hers hadn't. When he wasn't out on what Death referred to as the duty, Mort assisted Albert, or found jobs in the garden or stable, or browsed through Death's extensive library, reading with speed and omnivorousness common to those who discover the magic of the written word for the first time. Most of the books in the library were biographies, of course. They were unusual in one respect. They were writing themselves. People who had already died, obviously, filled their books from cover to cover, and those who hadn't been born yet had to put up with blank pages. Those in between, Mort took note, marking the place and counting the extra lines, and estimated that some books were adding paragraphs at the rate of 4 or 5 every day. He didn't recognize the handwriting. And finally, he plucked up his courage.
"Oh, what?"
said Death in astonishment, sitting behind his ornate desk and turning his scythe-shaped paper knife over and over in his hands.
"An afternoon off," repeated Mort.
The room suddenly seemed to be oppressively big, with himself very exposed in the middle of a carpet about the size of a field.
"But why?" said Death. "It can't be to attend to your grandmother's funeral," he added. "I would know."
"I just want to, you know, get out and meet people," said Mort, trying to outstare that unflinching blue gaze.
"But you meet people every day," protested Death.
"Yes, I know, only, well, not for very long," said Mort. "I mean, it'd be nice to meet someone with a life expectancy of more than a few minutes, sir," he added.
Death drummed his fingers on the desk, making a sound not unlike a mouse tap dancing, and gave Mort another few seconds of stare. He noticed that the boy seemed rather less elbows than he remembered, stood a little more upright, and bluntly could use a word like expectancy. It was all that library.
"All right," he said grudgingly, "but it seems to me you have everything you need right here. The duty is not onerous, is it?"
"No, sir."
"And you have good food and a warm bed and recreation and people your own age?"
"Pardon, sir?"
"My daughter," said Death. "You have met her, I believe."
"Oh, yes, sir."
"She has a very warm personality when you get to know her."
"I'm sure she has, sir."
"Nevertheless, you wish..."
Death launched the words with a spin of distaste.
"An afternoon off?"
"Yes, sir, if you please, sir."
"Very well, so be it. You may have until sunset."
Death opened his great ledger, picked up a pen and began to write. Occasionally he'd reach out and flick the beads of an abacus. After a minute, he looked up.
"You're still here," he said, "and in your own time too," he added sourly.
Said Mort, "will people be able to see me, sir?"
"I imagine so, I'm sure," said Death. "Is there anything else I might be able to assist you with before you leave for this debauch?"
"Well, sir, there is one thing, sir. I don't know how to get to the mortal world, sir," said Mort desperately.
Death sighed loudly and pulled open a desk drawer.
"Just walk there."
Mort nodded miserably and took the long walk to the study door. As he pulled it open, Death coughed.
"Boy,"
he called and tossed something across the room. Mort caught it automatically as the door creaked open. The doorway vanished. The deep carpet underfoot became muddy cobbles. Broad daylight poured over him like quicksilver.
"Mort,"
said Mort to the universe at large.
"What?"